Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello and welcome to episode 109 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Edward Lamb. I'm a good pal, Sean Orford. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm doing very, very well. How are you?
I'm okay. I got a bit scared the other day because, you know, the nice girl, that lady that introduces this show.
Yeah.
I saw her somewhere else.
Oh, right.
You can, you know, pay for her services, so to speak, on Fiverr.com, F-I-V-E-R-R.com, voiceovers. But she does little video clips too. And I've been approached by a company to do a website, and they've got this little intro video on the site, which is cool. And there's this nice-looking lady there, and I went, I recognise that voice. And it's the same girl.
So what does she look like?
I'll send you the video.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she's a good-looking lady.
Yeah.
Not that it matters, but, well,
yeah.
It helps.
It's funny, is it? Because I know her voice very well, obviously. Right?
Yeah, I can't remember her name. Oh, I've heard the name that she uses on Fiverr. It's a pretty cool name, but yeah. Anyway,
yeah.
That's me. We're talking about money this week, aren't we, Sean?
Yeah.
Our free audio course continues. We're up to step 8 this week,
yep.
And it's money, which is an interesting one, as they all are, but yeah, this is cool. We'll come into that soon. How you been, Sean? You been alright?
I've been good.
Haven't seen each other in a while, have we?
No, you've been out having wild holidays.
I know, I think in the last show I did kind of pretend that I was back from a holiday, just to try, because we try and play with time a little bit, don't we?
A bit of continuity.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I'm officially back now.
Yeah.
And so back to
very good weather.
I went away.
So good holiday.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. Northumberland never fails to disappoint.
No, you shouldn't tell people that on air because people will go there. It's the undiscovered gem of Britain.
No one knows about it. It's brilliant. I've said that before.
It's good.
Yeah, it's super quiet. The weather wasn't brilliant, but you know when you find somewhere that you know your way around,
yeah,
and you can just go there to unplug. That's our spot, you know. So,
yeah.
Even if we'd been lashing it down for 2 weeks solid,
yeah,
we would have been all right.
Yeah,
which it didn't. It was, you know, one day of proper rain.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's brilliant. It's good. I love it up there. I love the beaches, like big, long open
beaches with castles on and...
Yeah.
Yeah. I did actually do a bit... The caravan we stayed in, my auntie's caravan, there's a few books, you know, that she's collected over time and stuff about the area. And it is actually... it's the county in Britain, with the most castles.
Yeah, right, well...
Yeah. I can't remember how many exactly.
Does that mean there was the most warfare going on up there?
Yeah, well, it's an interesting part of the world without boring people too much, because, yeah, it's not quite the birthplace of Christianity in the UK, but, you know, with Holy Island,
yeah.
Lindisfarne.
Yeah. But also you've got all the Viking stuff up there, haven't you?
You've got the Viking stuff, yeah. And I was reading those Vikings really set us back, like Britain, they set us back a couple hundred years of kind of civilisation.
Yeah.
The swines.
Yeah, they need sorting out those Vikings.
And then you got the whole Scotland-England thing.
Yeah.
Because we don't ever venture as far as Berwick, which is the most northern English town.
Yeah.
But I'm told in Berwick, folks have a Scottish accent. Their team plays football in the Scottish League, but it's an English town.
But the border must have moved backwards and forwards so many.
Oh, it changed hands a lot.
It's like Carlisle was in Scotland, then it wasn't, then it was, then it wasn't, that kind of thing.
Yeah. But we're all pals now, sort of.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Unless they decide to leave.
I know, don't, because we need you, Andy Murray.
Yes.
Wimbledon's just started.
Yes, right, yeah, don't go yet. Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, I'm good, I'm feeling refreshed. How about you?
I'm good, I'm a log man. A guy called Brocky, to have a bathroom fitted, and outside his showroom, which is a lovely showroom, nice guy, they're dismantling all these trees and to make a car park. So I said, oh, what are you doing with the wood? He said, we're going to dump it.
Yeah.
So they dumped it on us. So
you
now,
are like me, a wood burning man.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm now, Josh and I were out there at the weekend cutting logs and
have you got an electric wizard saw I can do with one? Have you?
Yeah.
Is it your own?
It is.
All right, I'm going to borrow that from you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's very reasonable hire rates, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Now, we had our fence panels redone last week, just when we got back.
Yeah.
And I asked them to obviously leave all the old fences.
Yeah, we're fences, they make good kindling.
Yeah, good for getting things started.
Yeah.
Got stacks of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, my pal just brought down a tree, so I was like, I'm same as you. What are you doing with that tree?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's funny how your perception changes, because suddenly you see wood everywhere.
Yeah.
Wood could burn that.
Wood is a resource.
Yes, yeah.
As is money, as we're about to come on to.
Yeah.
Before I do, I should mention the usual stuff. Livingthepresent.co.uk if you want to go see who we are, what we do, and find or access 108 previous episodes of free content. Not too shabby, that, is it?
No, it's good.
Right, we're doing this course at the moment, and there's a secret link where you can download our book or access our book for free. And I've finally fixed the iPad, iPhone
you have.
Thing issue.
Thank you. I was going to ask you about that.
There's a little warning sign saying, having trouble, blah, blah, blah. Click it.
Right.
So that's fixed. And I've had people say, it works, Ed, it works.
Oh, that's good. Good.
So livingthepresent.co.uk/secret. Okay. Yeah. Don't tell your friends. That's where you can find that.
Before we get into this episode, I just want to say something about anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Since we've been doing these steps on air,
yeah.
Had a lot of emails from people experiencing anxiety and talking about it in different ways, and I do reply to all emails eventually. Life's a bit busy, but everyone will be replied to.
Yep.
I just want to say this about anxiety. Anxiety is the most common problem in the industrialised world. You don't get anxiety so much in agricultural and rural communities.
Yep.
It's when once you get urbanisation, industrialisation, anxiety starts to step up. It's reckoned that about 60% of the people that go to their general practitioner are suffering anxiety, though they may be presenting with different symptoms, that the baseline is anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very, very common problem, and it's a common problem in our society that we need to learn to deal with. The thing that I would say to everybody that's listening to this that has anxiety issues, that there are two things that you need to look at. The first one is that if your anxiety is clinical, it means that the chemistry in your system is out. And if your system chemistry is out, you need to visit your physician and get the appropriate medication
right. To
bring that level down. If the reason that it's high is completely chemical, you may need medication forever. And that's okay if that's what you need. If you had diabetes and you take insulin, it's that same kind of thing.
Yep.
But the majority of cases will be emotionally, psychologically based anxiety, which is to do with what we talk about, projecting forward, worrying about what's going to happen next and living that worry in the present. So we're always anxious about the next moment, the next thing. When that's the case, sometimes you may still need the medication, and the medication holds you up like a pit prop mm-hmm. emotionally while you do the work underneath.
Okay.
Yeah. The problem for people that go to the GP for medication and don't do the psychotherapy is that the pit prop holds them up for a while. And then as soon as they stop taking the medication and they come off, then there's nothing to hold them up and they fall down again.
Okay.
Yeah. Whereas if people have done the work, done the psychotherapy, then they're propping themselves up. It's okay.
Which is, makes more sense.
But the two things are that if you do the kind of work that we're talking about on this program, and you engage in mindfulness in life, you will automatically reduce any levels of anxiety. And if you get good at it and you practice it, because anxiety is a learned habit,
mm-hmm.
if you learn the opposite, then you can eliminate anxiety from your life. But it takes a bit of effort and a bit of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there is nothing, there's no criticism in anybody needing to take medication while they sort themselves out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's quite important. People shouldn't feel that if they need to take medication to lower the level of anxiety, they're in some way they've failed. They haven't.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like what works best for you.
Mm. Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, the whole living the present ethos is it's about reducing anxiety and depression. So, yeah.
From
each end of the spectrum. And
yeah. Live in the present.
Yeah.
Live in the moment.
Finding that centre ground.
Yeah. Because right now, this moment, there's you and I sat here around the microphone, and whoever's listening to this, wherever you're sat, there's a 99.9 recurring percent chance that you're completely safe and there's nothing going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless you are ruminating in your mind.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wonder what the most dangerous situation someone listening to the show right now is in. Wonder if we could get some emails in. saying, I'm in Afghanistan right now, I've got you in my ears, and any second now.
I'm looking down the barrel of a Kalashnikov.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who were?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm getting anxious because we got to get on, John.
Get a crack on. Get on with it. Stop talking.
No, you're right, though. I mean, anxiety. All the emails we get in about what one issue is facing them, it's 9 out of 10, anxiety.
Yeah, well, next year we'll be releasing our therapeutic programmes, online therapy programmes, which will be 90-day programmes. programs. Mm-hmm. And the first one on the list that we will be doing is Overcoming Anxiety.
Cool.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
So it'll be good.
I'm getting anxious about the amount of work I'll need to do for that. But it will be worth it. It'll be cool. So, right, okay, let's move on to this week's topic, which, step 8 of living the present,
is money.
Of course, it's money, money, money.
Money is really interesting.
Why does it come
is it
now?
Good or bad? Is
yeah, well, why does it come now? Just first of all, because we recapped last week, which was...
on getting stuck.
When you're stuck. And that was just kind of forcing people into the... really focusing on what they want from life, their goals, wasn't yep. it? And now you've got your goals. It's like, okay, how are you going to do it? And for that, like it or love it, you're probably going to need a bit of dosh.
Yep.
Aren't we?
Yep. One of the things that people talk about, that you get a lot on the course, where people have... idealistic images of what they would like to do in life, in the world. They'd like to solve the world's problems.
Yeah.
One of the things is that if you don't have the resources to put into the resolution, then your ability to resolve things is very, very limited.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Britain isn't good at dealing with people with money.
Mm.
I think that's true across a lot of the Western world, but the idea that if you've got money, then you must be some kind of creepy person who got it badly by defrauding other people, or you're a drug dealer or something like that, rather than it could just be the result of the success that you have in the life that you've led.
Yeah.
So at one point, people will reject the idea of the filthy rich and how disgusting they all are, and yet at the same time be praying to win the lottery.
Mm.
There's an odd kind of dichotomy in that. Yeah. Are you embarrassed about money?
No, not at all. No, I mean, I struggle to, you know, I call myself an entrepreneur at the start of this show. Or
yeah.
What's the name does? But I struggle to see how some people make so much. Like, I run a little business, which is a really simple little setup. People ask me to make websites for them. I do it, and they pay me a bit of dosh. Dead cool. Everyone's happy. But I'm working now in an office in Liverpool with some big firms in the floors above and below me. And, like, I can't see how you could ever build a business to that size where you've got 100, 200, 1,000 people working for you. It's amazing, really. I'm kind of awestruck by that kind of thing, really. But you don't need to, what we're talking about, you don't need to be making trillions and trillions. You don't need to be raising millions in venture capitalism, do you?
The issue is, for individuals, what do you need, isn't it?
Yeah.
I do work with people, I've done several times over the years, where you get people who have been amazingly well off for whatever reasons. Maybe, you know, they did make a pile of dosh, or it was left to them, or whatever. But I've worked with people who, because they're down to their last £1 million, and they don't know what they're going to do. You know, that feed that level of loss. Whereas where I came from as a kid, if you described yourself as broke, it meant you had no money. Not you had a fiver in your pocket. It was like you had no money.
Yeah.
But if someone feels like they're broke because they've only got £1 million left.
Yeah.
You know, that's a different world. It's a different way of thinking.
The good old T. Harv Eker talks about money blueprints, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And it's interesting now, we all have this money blueprint. And some have that, like... lower value set at £1 million, some have it set at £5 million. It's just weird how...
Yeah.
I know a guy here, he's a restaurateur guy, and he's got a few restaurants, and he's one of these guys that's been broke and then back to a millionaire several times over.
Yep.
I just can't figure out how. I mean, you can see exactly how he's done it. You know, it's quite easy to spot all the decisions he's made. But yeah, some people are just cut out for... Maybe they've just got a good head for numbers, and they're just... Or whether it's risk-taking,
it's,
that kind of thing.
Very often, the money is a byproduct of something else.
Hmm.
If you look at someone like Dyson with his vacuum cleaners, the guy's an engineer. The fact that he's managed to make the connection between designing a product and taking it to market, which has made him a lot of money, is the trick. There are loads of people that have very, very clever ideas. It's making that connection. And very often, the person who's the creative person is in a garret somewhere being creative, and the person that makes the money is the businessman who takes that idea and takes it to market.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the issue is that for most people, the money that we have is the byproduct of what we do with our lives.
Mm.
Yeah, now it could be that you're Mr. Bick and you invent the biro, and everyone has a biro in their pocket. You know, so your idea becomes amazingly successful. You know, maybe you write a song, and loads of people buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a byproduct to that. But for most of us, the byproduct is we're selling our time to another person, mm-hmm. and then they're giving us money.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things that's really, really interesting about money blueprints is if you look at a group of people, a group of friends, and then you look at what they're earning in a normal group, it varies by about 10%.
Yes.
Everybody's earning around, they're in the same kind of bracket of money.
Mm.
Yeah. And one of the things that's important there is, and if you're listening to this, it's like, what do you earn now? And is it that your money blueprint says that earning 10 grand or 20 grand or 30 grand is enough, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it 35 or 40, 50? You know, do you need 100, 200? You know, because it starts off with that idea about what's normal.
Yeah.
What should I be doing? What would be a normal kind of income? Yeah, and that's dictated by the blueprint in your head.
Mm.
And very often, one of the things that Harv Eker points out is that if somebody has a blueprint in their head, say, where 50,000 is a lot, and you give them a million because they won the lotto, what they'll do is they'll get rid of that million until they get down to the 50,000 because that feels normal, that feels right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, what is it that feels
normal?
Yeah,
there's a lot of stories that aren't they? Million, no, lottery winners that have just, yeah, blown it all
blown the lot,
back
yeah.
to where they are. But
yeah.
probably quite happy at that level. Maybe they were just super anxious having all that dosh floating around and just wanted to get rid of it as fast as they could.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just get back to the daily routine.
Yeah. I mean, we went on the course, we look at the idea about how do people create money. And about 94% of the population are wage slaves. So they're selling their time to an organisation, to a business. You're stuck in the trap of you can only work for the amount of hours that they're prepared to pay you for the rate that they're prepared to pay it at.
Yeah.
And unless you can get some overtime or you get a second job, you can't increase your potential for money to create more money. So we talk on the course about multi-streaming, about you may have a regular day job, but maybe there's other things that you do, maybe online or whatever, that create the kind of levels of return that you would feel are good for you.
Yeah, yeah, and there's plenty of, well, there's a lot of success stories out there. Yeah, people making a bit on the side online. I think I've mentioned Fizzle before, which is like fizzle.co.co, which is a website where you can learn how to make online products and sell them. And
yep.
the difficulties you'll have, 'cause it's not easy, as we're finding out.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not super easy, man. It takes time and effort. Some people think that you can just upload an ebook and instantly you've made it.
And those stories, aren't they? Because there is the girl, I can't remember her name, who on Kindle was the first self-publisher to sell a million.
Oh, yeah. The Fifty Shades of Grey lady?
No. It was a regular, she was like a secretary or something, that wrote a crime book.
Yeah.
And suddenly it sold a million copies. Mm. And she was making like £2 a copy or something.
Yeah. Oh, man, well, that's it. There's a lot of resources out there. And we talk about resources, but what you need to see money as is as a resource rather than... a weird thing, which, like you say, a lot of people have a strange relationship with money.
But if you look at people and you say things like, how much do you want? And people say things like a million. If you actually start to cut it down to what people actually want, what they makes them feel good, it's nothing like a million. It's much less than that.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, people usually want to be able to pay the bills and feel okay, to look after the people around them they need to look after. And be able to go on holiday when they want to. And if someone says, hey, let's go to Paris for the weekend, they're not thinking, oh, my God, where am I going to get the dosh? They're just going to do it. And actually, the ability to do that on a kind of a year-by-year basis isn't £1 million. It's much less than that.
Yeah.
You know, and for most people, that feeling of comfort and well-being in the money world is much smaller than the games we play. I don't know why a million is the phrase.
Mm.
How much do you want? I want £1 million. Why a million? You know, it's a round number.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I remember doing the course in person a few years ago, we did come to the point where you have to write down the number. I don't know if it's an annual figure. I can't remember.
Yeah. We were looking at income. What do you want?
And when you actually start to think about it, the number that springs your head is £1 million. But when you actually start to think about it in relation to what you might be earning this moment right now,
yeah.
It's like, oh, I don't need a million. Maybe just twice what I've got now. And be, you know,
If you're earning 25 grand and someone said, hey, let's double this to 50, I mean, like, wow, that's amazing. That's really, really good. You know,
obviously you get taxed on 50 grand now. Is it 40%?
No, I think you're just outside.
It's just, you just want to learn just below that.
Yeah.
Or 49,995.
But all those kinds of things about being clear with yourself about what is it that you want and you want to do. The issue for me is that money, in a big sense, is just a magnifying glass. All it does is it allows you to be who you are, but in a bigger way. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens when people win the lotto. So that if someone is a miserable, horrible person and you give them the power through the money to do things, they just become an even bigger, miserable, horrible person.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, whereas if someone's a happy person without the money, you give them the money and they will create more happiness.
Mm-hmm. Do some good with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which, yeah, again, money is a resource. Yeah, I mean, there's countless examples of people with ridiculous sums of money that you can tell aren't sleeping all that well. I
have so many clients over the years who are very, very wealthy who are so miserable.
Well, they have to be to afford your hourly rate.
Yeah, I'm just making sure they pay it. But that whole idea that you've got people who have nothing. And I do see people who actually can't pay me anything because they are that strapped. And yet, in their lives, once they've sorted out over the problem, is they're really happy people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that realization that money has absolutely nothing to do with happiness.
Mm.
It feels like it when you haven't got it, or it feels like it when you want it. But in reality, there's no relationship between happiness and money at all.
Mm.
You know, it isn't going to make you happy, and the lack of money isn't going to make you sad. Yeah, there's something more fundamental there. However, it can be that if you are happy and positive, then you're more likely to create money. Yeah, but then the money is the byproduct of being happy. It's not the other way around.
Yeah, and is that something to do with being kind of a magnetic personality all of a sudden, and things you start attracting things into your life, people, dosh on the side.
Yeah, and it's like that. If you have a tradesman comes in and does your driveway or does your garden or does something for you, and he's really good, and it's a kind of a good price, and he's a good guy. Mm. So you're going to say to other people, wow, you know, I had Fred round and he did this and it was really good. And like the guy gets more work.
Mm.
Yeah, as opposed to someone comes along and they do a lousy job and they rip you off on the fee. And that's what goes out. You tell other people, oh, you know, I saw him and it was awful.
Yeah.
Terrible. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that idea about being able to do whatever you do as value for money. Like if you go into work today and you're a wage slave, are you genuinely giving of yourself to earn the money that you're getting?
Right.
Or are you freeloading what you're doing?
Mm.
And there are lots of people that do go into the workplace. The first thing they do is have a cup of coffee, and then they'll kind of maybe read the newspaper and do a bit of this and a bit of that. And what they're actually doing for the money they get may be quite minimal.
Yeah.
You know, but that's a choice point.
Sure enough.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. The fact I've come here means you need to pay me money.
I've mentioned Fizzle there, and we've mentioned Harvecker's Secret of the Millionaire Mind. The book is, isn't it?
Yeah, I put that down as my resource.
Okay.
I put the link to the book down, but I would say that, and it's an Amazon link here, but on Amazon or wherever else, you can get the audio version of The Millionaire Mind, which I think is much better to use, because Harvecker is actually quite a funny guy.
Yeah.
And when he's actually talking through the book, the way he expresses some of the lines and the words just makes me chuckle.
Yeah, he's
and
cool.
Yeah.
There's loads of stuff, his stuff on YouTube as well, where you can see some of his, because he does these big talks, doesn't he?
Yeah. He tells a story which I think is wonderful about how, because he wasn't born with money, he had to kind of create it. And he got to the point where he got his first kind of fancy car, and he's driving along with the roof down. And these guys come past in a truck, these workers, and they start throwing empty cans and rubbish and stuff into the car. And saying to him, you rich bastard, and being really negative to him about the fact that he had this car. And one of the things that he was saying, which I think is really, really true, is that if you act like that with people that have things that maybe you would like, you'd never create the chance to get them. Because you just create a negative feeling around it all.
Yeah.
And there's no reason why anybody can't have a Rolls Royce or, you know, the top range Lexus if they want to. You know, if that's what floats your boat, there's no reason why you can't have it. You just have to do things that enable you to get there.
I saw my first Tesla in Northumberland. All right. My first wild sighting of mine, a bit of an obsession of mine.
Yeah.
Electric car.
Yeah.
In the village we're staying in, like, I was just walking up the hill one day. I looked left, and there it's quite a it's Tesla Model S.
So it got a sporty looking thing.
No, it's quite. I think it was one of a basic, because you can soup it up with all sorts of big wheels and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's quite nondescript looking.
Right.
It looks a bit like a Jaguar. What is it? XF or the Saloon Jag? Even just like a Vauxhall Insignia. Just it's like a cross between those. It's quite
right.
Plain looking, but I spotted it obviously. Just seeing it there, that's like knowing that in 10 years we're probably all going to be driving electric cars, or all new cars sold are going to be electric,
yeah,
or some electric component.
Yeah,
like, wow, that's the beginning. The first one I've spotted, and I was wondering how he's charging it, because it was in the village and he had like off away from the house parking, so I don't know how he was charging it up overnight, because there's no Tesla superchargers in the area, like on the motorways. But he must have been finding somewhere to plug it in.
Yeah.
But that Elon Musk, I've mentioned him. He's one of those guys. Yeah, he's like a super entrepreneur. He's an engineer, really, at heart. Mm. I think. But the stuff he goes through. One of his rockets just exploded a couple of days ago.
Yeah, right. What was that?
They were delivering a payload to the space station, SpaceX.
Right.
And it exploded on launch. That's a big deal. A really big deal for him. So he must be super stressed right now.
Yeah,
because he just got a contract with NASA to take humans to space, and all of a sudden one of his Falcon 9 rockets has exploded. Oh my word.
So it wasn't an electric rocket then?
No, you can't have electric rockets in space, because there's no propulsion in electric.
Yeah, and you can't know where to plug it.
Chuck some fuel out the back. That's how you move in space, isn't it? Hey ho. But look at Elon Musk as well, man, because he's not about the money, I don't think, because he works so hard that he probably doesn't have time to really enjoy all his dosh. But he's in the moment, he's loving it, the work that he does with his car company, his rocket company.
I think the thing that's important out of this week is that you can have anything you want, you can have the money you want, you can have the life that you want, but there's things that you have to be prepared to do it.
Yeah,
and as long as you work that through, which is what the program's about here, you can create what you want.
Yeah.
But you might find that what you want actually isn't that much, if you actually look at it.
Yeah, you might not need $10 billion.
Yeah, 9 will do.
And it's the process, again, we've talked, hasn't it? It's the enjoyment of the process of working these things through rather than the end goal of the money.
Yeah.
It's that whole bit beforehand.
Yeah. Yeah. A man walking in the woods is walking in the woods, whether he's got a quid or whether he's got 10 billion.
Yeah.
He's still a man walking in the woods. And whether he's happy or not walking in the woods isn't to do with the money in the bank, it's to do with the fact he's walking in the woods.
Sure. Okay. Check out the book, livingthepresent.co.uk/secret, chapter 8. See what you think.
Sure thing.
We've mentioned a few resources there. Your resource of the week
is
mentioned.
Yeah, Harve Eker. I mean, you made a note here of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which is a good book. I mean, there are some amazing books around.
Yeah, that's worth a look for sure, just in terms of reviewing your relationship with money and moving it on a little bit.
Yeah.
4-Hour Work Week, which I've talked about loads. Yeah. Tim Ferriss is a good one for creating passive income.
Yeah.
Making money online, that kind of thing. And also working out how much you need in your life.
Yeah.
There's a bit at the start of the book where you're asked to write down.
Yeah.
There's a box you can download a PDF from his website and actually to the penny work out how much you need to create this life of your dreams.
Yep.
That's a good one. My actual resource of the week is more related to anxiety, really, thinking about what you were talking about at the start. It's a 10-minute video that School of Life have done, which is probably the best one I've seen yet actually, and it's entitled First World Problems. And it talks about, there's this hashtag coming up on Twitter, which I use quite a lot, First World Problems, #FirstWorldProblems, which talks about these issues we have in the West that people in third world countries don't have, and we belittle ourselves a little bit when we say, oh, we're stressed or we're anxious about certain, I don't know, maybe the dishwasher just exploded or something. Oh, poor me. But it has a real effect on us, these first world problems.
Yeah.
Anxiety, right? Yeah. And it talks about how, you know, they're real and they should be dealt with rather than just pushing them under the carpet.
Yeah. It's all relative, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's that thing about everyone in the street's got two cars and we've only got one. You know, so we're relatively deprived.
Yep. Yeah.
Which is a real issue.
I've got a Tesla. So, have a look at that little video on online.
Yep.
What's chapter 9? Step 9
it's,
of the book?
It's about fulfilment. It's about, you know, okay, let's get on with it. What are you going to do? What's the task?
Okay.
Yeah.
That's coming up next week.
Yep.
Righto, Sean. Everyone else, livingthepresent.co.uk. For all the show notes and links, the blog post that Sean has written, and find us on Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff.
Yeah. And already written. I was up at 4:30 this morning, right?
You've done the blog already?
I have. Woo! I'm ahead of the game.
All right, cool. Well, we'll catch up with you all next week. Take it easy, Sean.
Okay. Bye now.
See ya.
Bye. See ya.